Hebrews chapter 10 and James chapter 4. Again, I'm going to give you something that I was really praying about the message for tonight. It was just very, very clear to me where we're supposed to go and what we're supposed to do. Some of it will be a little bit of a rebuke. Hebrews chapter 10 and James chapter 4. Thanks, everybody, for praying while I was gone. We did have 8 churches represented there and a lot of men and everything. Good spirit. I'll tell you about it a little bit later on Sunday night as I'm getting more reports back. Hebrews chapter 10. And James chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 10, if you'll look at a scripture that you're familiar with, look at verse 22. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart. That's something we're doing on our end. We want to draw near to God. Let us draw near with a true heart. A true heart, meaning a clean heart, a pure heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. The idea is we want to draw near with a heart that's sprinkled, if you would, that's purified, that's cleansed, that's true. And the cleaner that heart can get, the truer that heart can get, I believe the closer we'll get to God. And I don't know about you, I want to have a life, as I'm getting in my later years, my main desire is to draw closer to God. And it's not just so somebody says, oh, he seems like he has a walk with God. I want to know what God wants. I want to know what he likes. I want to know what's pleasing to him. I want to know what he wants out of me. I want to know what he wants out of my family. I want to know what his will is for our church. I want to know. I don't want to waste a bunch of years thinking, well, I wonder if God's in this or not. I wonder if he wants me to do this or not. I want to be close enough to him where I just say, okay, God, I got it. That's what we'll do for the day. That's what we'll do next. So let's draw near with a true heart, a clean heart, a pure heart, and full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled, that's a clean heart from that evil conscience. Now, if that be the case, if we have that desire to draw nigh to God, look at James 4, and you know this, James chapter 4. If we can draw nigh to God with a cleaner heart, with a purer heart, with a heart that doesn't have that evil conscience, look at James 4, then something will happen reciprocally. Look at James chapter 4, verse 8. James 4, verse 8. Draw nigh to God. And he will draw nigh to you. Now, I know you know that verse, but listen to me. If we have a desire to want to get our hearts cleaner and cleansed even more and purified in our thought life, and we want to come with a true heart to God, I just believe God will give us the ability, if you would, and give us the opportunity to get closer to him. And I'm not talking about just once in a while. I'm not talking about just, well, we go away to a big meeting somewhere, or we have a big meeting here, and for a short period of time, somebody says, well, I just felt real close to God. I'm talking about more consistently, that's a normal thing around here, that when we come together, our services is like we just have some high expectation that God's going to show up, because there's a number of people here that have cleansed their hearts and got truer hearts and got closer to God. And when a bunch of close people to God get together, he wants to draw nigh to us. Now, what I'm talking about is not just, wow, do we have a service there? I'm talking about that becomes more of a regular thing. I mean, not boy, and I have a close day with God today. I'm talking about when we don't have a close day with God, that's abnormal. I mean, more of a consistent, close, drawing nigh to God, him drawing nigh to us, just knowing his will, and just, may I say this to you, just this being more normal, that he's doing miraculous things in our midst. I think if we get closer to him, we're going to see more of his miracles. And whatever kind of miracles you want, salvation is a miracle. I mean, I believe it'll make our soul winning more effective. I believe it'll make our teaching in our homes more effective. Our marriage will be even closer. Look at Psalms 19. Here's where the detriment's now. Stay with it. Look at Psalms 19. We've been over this before. Psalms 19 in Mark chapter 7. So the concept is getting closer to God on a consistent basis, a regular basis, to where, hey, somebody comes in to preach and you say, man, that the Holy Spirit just, boy, he just showed me so much tonight through that preacher. Look at Psalms 19 and Mark 7. Here's the negative side of it. Mark 7, Psalms 19, verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from, say it, secret faults. Brother, mark it down. Those secret faults are a hindrance to drawing nigh to God. Keep back thy servants also from presumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me. Brother, there's things in our life that are hindering us from drawing nigh to God on a regular basis. There's secret faults. There's presumptuous sins. You have them. I have them. But God can deal with those things. Let's look at the list real quick. Look at Mark 7. These things are getting in our way from having a more consistent walk with God. And I'm not talking about one day a week that, oh, I was just real close to God today, and the other days I was close, but I mean one day I was just real close. I mean having more days where God's, our work, our walk alongside God, if you would, our fellowship with Him, our pleasing to Him, all those things are just more and more consistent during the week. Here's a list, brethren, of things that probably get in our way. Verse Mark 7, look at me what at verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Now, brother, just look at the list for a moment and let this thing be a mirror to us. And I mean, we're looking in the mirror and we're saying, all right, do I see any of my secret, presumptuous faults and sins in there? Is there anything in there that I can say, yeah, that fits the category? Well, I look at that thing and I said, man, it'd be hard for someone not to say it fits the category. It would be hard for somebody to look at that list and say, oh, no, mine aren't in there. Evil thoughts? Pride? Brethren, I think that what we've got to realize is that which gets in our way is that which is in our heart. Because it says, from within our heart, out of our heart, cometh these things. Verse 23, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. So, brother, I got to say this to you. Most of us that's been around for a while, it's not so much the world out there, it's what's in here. Now, obviously, the world affects what's already in here, but rather than trying to change the world, I think we'd be better off to focus and say, created me a clean heart. Now, abhor the world, abhor the appearance of evil, I mean, eschew evil, stay away from evil things. But brethren, the focus is not, how can I change this world? The focus is, how can God change what's in here? If God will start working on us on the inside, we will draw nigh to God. Statement. Actions are produced by thoughts. Would you agree with that? Thoughts are produced by desires. So when we go back to the root of the matter, if our desires change, if our desires can get cleaned up, then our thoughts can get cleaned up, then our actions get cleaned up, then we walk through this world and say, that's ridiculous, I'm not going to do anything with that. I don't think Jesus was tempted at all. Now, I know Satan tried to tempt him, but I don't think Jesus, in fact, I know, Jesus didn't have any problem with this world. He looked at it and said, there's nothing here for me. Other than the people. Why? Because there were no evil desires within him. There was no evil thoughts in his brain. Never, ever, ever, ever. Think about that for a moment. Somebody says, oh, don't you think he struggled in the garden a little bit? Yeah, he struggled because God wanted him as a man to demonstrate to us, not my will, but thy will be done. It was a submission thing. And the Hebrew says he learned submission. But brother, he didn't have any evil desires in his heart. He was created perfect. Right? He was God. He wasn't born of man. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Is that right? Come on, talk to me. So there was not an evil desire in Jesus Christ. Therefore, there was never an evil thought in him. He was God. Therefore, there was never an evil action. Would you agree with that statement? Now, once we're born again, and I'm not trying to preach perfection, I'm trying to preach more consistent purity and holiness. And I think we should preach holiness, don't you? Be holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. How do we draw nigh to God and want Him to draw closer to us? Well, I think God draws nigh more to a true heart, a clean heart, a purified heart, where a lot of those desires that used to be in there are gone. Well, you said, man, if the desires would be gone, then I could have a more consistent life. There you go. See, it's not so much, you live in a city. Brethren, you can live in the country and have a wicked life. You could live out on a boat somewhere in the middle of the ocean and have a wicked thought life. Come on, is that right? And I understand the city and all the other stuff in here. But brother, we can live in this city, called by God to be where we're at, living in this place, but not be of that, and not have these evil desires that are constantly dominating our life that hinder us from having a true fellowship with God. Now, I believe that. I didn't say I've arrived. I just believe that. Come on, talk to me. Oh, yeah. I think God can purge out and create in us a clean heart and begin, if you would, to take away some of these things that are desires that we have, which will change our thought life, which will allow us to draw closer to God. Now, brother, before we go on, you've got to believe that before you're going to study this, before God will give you anything. You've got to believe, you must believe that God can create in us good desires. Desire the sincere milk of the Word. Who creates that desire? God does. You don't desire the Word. Your natural man does not desire the Word. The new man desires the Word of God. Would you agree? And that's a good desire. Desire spiritual gifts. That's a good desire. What creates in us that good desire is a clean heart. Desire the office of a bishop. That's a good desire. I mean, desiring spiritual things is a good desire. That natural man desires nothing spiritual. That natural man, that old man, doesn't want to even be here tonight. If you walked into the flesh today and you walked in that old man, you fought him all the way in, and right now you're fighting him right now, and he doesn't want to hear any of this stuff. But if you're in the Spirit tonight, the Spirit is saying, yeah, put that old man down, crucify him, clean up that heart. I want to get closer to God. But if you're listening to that old man tonight, he's saying, we don't want to get any closer to God. Come on, is that right? If we walk in the flesh today, we did not have a day that we wanted to draw close to God. If we walked in the Spirit, we had a day where we wanted to draw close to God. And a lot of that has to do with what's going on in our heart. Look, if you would, at Romans chapter 9 and Romans chapter 2. Everybody still all right? Romans chapter 9 and Romans chapter 2. And by the way, don't feel like I'm beating on you tonight. I'm not beating on you. I'm for you. I didn't bring you in on a midweek service to beat on you. Come on. Let's have a good Thursday and Friday and Saturday so we can have a great Sunday. Amen. Wouldn't you agree with that? I'm not against you tonight. I'm for you. I'm saying let's move the bar up more consistently and let's ask God to do something in our hearts. Now watch. Romans chapter 9. I need to bring this out because it's so important about what's going on inside where the heart is connected to the conscience. Look at Romans chapter 9 verse 1. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My what? Say it, everybody. Conscience. Also bearing me witness in who? In the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost bears witness and talks and deals and teaches and works with our conscience. In fact, the conscience is somewhat the rule setter. In our makeup, the conscience either accuses or excuses us. Is that right? Well, who tells the conscience what the rules are? The Holy Spirit does. See, that's why without the Holy Spirit, everybody's conscience can say, well, I don't have a problem with that. Well, I don't have a problem with that. It's all relative. But when the Holy Ghost comes in, it's not relative anymore. It becomes more absolute. Now, stay with me and you'll get it. Look at Romans chapter 2. I'm going to make a statement in just a moment. You'll understand where I'm going. Look at Romans chapter 2. Stay with me. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, look at verse number 15. Talking about the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law. Verse 15, which show the work of the law written in their where? Say it. Hearts. Now look, there's a law written in our hearts after we get saved. It's a law of the Holy Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's a law where the Holy Spirit deals with our conscience to guide and direct our hearts, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. What's bearing witness mean? Testify. Talking to us. I mean, hey, your conscience is either bothering you tonight or it's clean and clear. We have to keep a clear conscience if we're going to have a close walk. Let me say it again. We must keep a clear conscience if we're going to have a close walk and draw nigh to God with a clean heart. That means when we do something wrong, we've got to confess it and recognize it right away. Well, how does that work? I do something wrong, I say something, I act, or just something wrong. Well, the Holy Spirit bears witness to my conscience accuses my heart, and immediately my heart says to my mind, I've done something wrong, and the next thing I'm doing is I'm saying, forgive me, Lord. Don't let that come between me and my fellowship with you. I don't want that lingering there. That's why you can't have arguments with somebody and just let them linger and linger and linger. Because that will hinder us from being what we're supposed to be for God. Hey, that's why, guys, we can't treat our wives wrong. I believe this. A church where the men have a close walk with God, those wives will be treated better than any place. I believe that. Somebody says, well, how do y'all treat your wives down there? You want an independent fundamental master. If we have men, husbands, that walk close to God, that have a conscience of what's going on in their heart, and have that word mirror them all the time, and they're looking at it, I'll guarantee you the Holy Ghost will say, treat your wife better. And the wives are going to be treated very well. Come on now. You're looking at it, come on, that's true. Yeah, because if we don't treat our wives well, our prayers will be hindered. Well, what is our prayer life? It's our communion with God. So you ladies say, well, if that's the only reason, I want you to do it because you love me. Let me tell you something, ladies. You ought to want us to do it because we love God. You'll get more mileage if we're in love with God than you will if we're just in love with you. Oh, man, that'll tweak somebody. That means just saying that. No, I want him to love me. No, you want him to love God first. You want him predominantly to love God. Because if he loves God, he'll love you better. The idea is like this. I'm a loser. The lady, if I was a woman, I'd say, I want my husband to love God first. I mean, hey, honey, just focus on your love for God. Because what's going to happen as a byproduct of that is he's going to love you. A guy that spends all his time, I love you, honey, I love you, I love you, I love you, honey, I love you, I love you, and doesn't spend any time walking with God. Come on now. Doesn't spend any time in his Bible, but oh, I love my wife. He's not going to have the depth of love for that woman that he could have had if he would have spent more time getting to know God, and God putting more love in him, and he could have loved that woman in a deeper way. Are you ladies getting this? I can't understand why ladies would stop their men folk from coming to church. I don't get that. I don't understand that. I don't understand that at all, where a woman would be a stumbling block to a husband coming to church and being under the Word of God. That just doesn't make any sense to me at all. I mean, that just tells me that woman is ignorant about spiritual things. I would want that man sitting under the Word of God because there's power in the preaching of the cross, realizing that it's going to make my marriage better. Does that make any sense? You can't come to church and open up the Scriptures time after time after time in the preaching of God's Word without wanting to get closer to God. And if he gets closer to God, then he's going to love that wife even more. I'm going to say something. If he doesn't stay in love with the Lord, he can be a pretty bad guy in his old nature. And you never know when he's going to snap. That's why I'd want him under the preaching of God's Word. I mean, I'd want him where we come in and it's just, come on, honey, you're going to church, right? You're going to church. I wouldn't even think, if I was a woman, of saying, are we going down there again tonight? We were just there Sunday morning and Sunday night. Are we going down there tonight? Come on. She doesn't get it. I'd be saying, are there special meetings? Special meetings, we're going, honey. I don't care if I got a headache or not. I'm with you in church. I'd make sure my husband was here as much as possible. Man, I'd slip tapes under his pillow. I'd put preaching tapes saying, keep listening to that preaching, honey. Keep listening to that preaching. And say, what will happen? He'll focus on her more and more. You're looking at me like I'm some freak, but it's true. It's so true. If he'll get closer to God, he'll get closer to her. Now stay with me. This conscience, watch, verse 15, which show the work of the law written in their conscience, in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, watch, their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or excusing one another. Statement. Everybody look at this. As we get older in the Lord, as we get more mature, the Holy Spirit does this with our conscience. Here's how wide the rules are. As you get older in the Lord and do more for God and want to do more for God, here's what the Holy Spirit will do with your conscience and the rules. He'll say, all right, you used to be able to do this. I'm narrowing the rules. You're not going to do this anymore. And it doesn't matter what someone else is doing. You don't compare yourselves among yourselves. If I would be doing that, I wouldn't be living the way I'm living right now. It's not what some other preacher does. It's what I'm supposed to do. And the Holy Spirit will say, all right, now the rules are right here. Wow, I'm getting convicted about things now I never got convicted about before. You're getting closer. Come on now, the conscience is working more. Well, you say, now what happens when that does that? Then the heart has to line up. Then the heart's got to get cleaner. It's part of the process. Well, when the heart gets cleaner to that, what happens to the thought life? The thought life gets cleaner. Well, when the thought life gets cleaner, the actions get better. And don't tell me God would say, all right, I used to have the rules out here, now I'm bringing them in here, but you're just going to have to deal with your own desires. God wouldn't do that. God will do this. I'm going to bring the rules in here. Now, obey your conscience. Oh, Lord, I see some desires inside of me that I didn't see before, and I need you to cleanse those. Good. Now that you see them, I'll take those desires out. Because I want you to get closer. So, yes, you come to me and you ask me to get rid of those desires. Take them out. Crucify that old man to a new level. Does this make sense to you or not? And then the Holy Spirit says, all right, now I'm going to show you something. And by the way, how does he show us? Through his word. It is a powerful, sharp, two-edged sword that's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the what? The heart. So here's what we do. The Holy Spirit says, now you've been studying your word, I'm going to bring you to a new level. I'm going to draw you in closer. But I want you to know something. It's going to hurt a little bit. You're going to be struggling a little bit. You're going to be confused. I'm going to ask you to do some things that you haven't been doing for a while, and that I may not ask other people to do. Look up here. I may ask you to fast more often. I may ask you to give more. I may ask you to suffer more. Come on. And the Holy Spirit says this, all right, we're coming in now here. Well, that's not fair. Nobody else has to. No, it's not a matter of fairness. It's a matter of what you want to do for God. Because I want to say this. Now listen, as the responsibilities grow, as the influence grows, the rules get tighter. Does this make sense? As the responsibilities grow, as the influence opportunities grow, as your effective soul winning grows, as your work in your home grows, as your training your children grows, as you feel like, man, we're really starting to have some productivity here. But while that's going on, the Holy Spirit will say, I'm narrowing the rules. You can't do some of the things you used to do anymore. And you don't look at it and say legalism. And here's what you don't do. Please look up here. You don't go to someone else and put that on them. God has asked you to do that. I'm very careful when I go out and preach to men that I don't lay too much on them. I don't expect them to fast and pray like I expect our church to do it. There's more required of us. To whom much given? Much is required of that person. Is that right? Yes. Absolutely. So the more opportunities and more responsibilities. In fact, the Holy Spirit may say, hey, now you're going to have to do this and this and this, and I'm narrowing the rules. But isn't that what we prayed for? Now, wait a minute, preacher. I didn't pray for the rules to be narrowed. No. Here's what you pray. Oh, God, use us more. Oh, God, give us the increase. Oh, God, we want to be more productive. Help us to reach more souls. Oh, God, bless my business in a bigger way. God, help me to have a better family and a greater family, a more influential family and more responsibility, and increase me, Father, and give me a promotion, all that. Well, here's what you pray. Bring the rules in. Creating me a clean heart. Take away some of those desires that are hindering me from what I'm supposed to be with God. Let me draw near to God with a true heart, with a clean heart, with a pure heart, knowing that he'll draw closer to me. Because the only way, if you would, that I can do more is that he narrows the rules. The walk gets narrower. Well, how's that happen? Please look up here. The conscience convicts more. What do you mean, convicts more? More guilt. Man, I can't get away with anything. I'm talking about you're not in your Bible the way he wants you in there. The conscience says, I've called you to something. I've asked you to do something. You've committed to it. You're going to have to increase your Bible reading time. Or he may ask you to stop hanging around. He may ask you to stop hanging around people that are stumbling blocks. He may ask you to control your mouth more. Well, what's the best way to do that? Stay away from others who can't. You say, what do you mean? He may say, you've had this amount of where your company that you kept was this wide. Now, I'm narrowing down the company you keep. Now, that doesn't mean you can't spend time with people. It just means you're not going to be able to get on that telephone and talk about some of the things you used to talk about and get away with it. Are we okay with what I just said? You may have to weed a couple of friends out, or you may have to say to them, I can't be discussing that anymore. We can't be talking about that in a negative way anymore. Well, what happened to you? Who made you holy? Now, that's the wrong kind of friend. The right kind of friend would say, you know what, you're right. I've been convicted about that too. We need to stop that, don't we? The wrong kind of friend would say, well, who made you holy? What a dumb thing to say. Aren't we supposed to be becoming more holy? Shouldn't we be encouraging each other to narrow it down? Please look up here. When you narrow it down, you don't become a Pharisee. You become exactly opposite of that. When you narrow it down, you get more compassion, more patience. You get a more workable spirit with people. You don't become more pharisaical. The Pharisees were going away from God. They were not getting closer to God. They were condemning people, if you would, because of their attitudes. And what happens when you get closer to God? You actually get more grace and mercy. Holiness does not mean that you're more liberal, and holiness does not mean that you judge and condemn people more. Holiness actually brings about a compassion and a patience and a long-suffering and a gentleness and a kindness that we didn't have before. Some people think holiness equates to legalistic Phariseeism, and I got it all wrong. The closer you get to God, the more you say, you know, let that guy alone. He's going to do okay. Give him a little time. It's the legal Pharisee that go over and say, you know what that guy needs? That's what he needs. That's not what he needs. Are we all right still? So this creating me a clean heart, as the conscience moves in closer and closer to the rules, to the guidelines, and God requires, if you would, a narrower walk. I don't know how I'll put it, where the boundaries come in a little bit more as far as what we can and cannot do, what he requires of us. The desires in our hearts have to clean up too. But statement, we can't clean our desires up. I know I've said that before. You got to get this though. It's kind of like this. Here we were out here and everything was fine. Boy, I wanted to get closer to God and everything was going along pretty good. It just seems like God did this on me. I'm in turmoil right now. I mean, I'm reading the Word of God, and it's like a mirror, and I'm just seeing more and more what's inside of me. And that's what the Word of God does. It mirrors what's inside of us, and we look in there through the mirror of the Holy Spirit through His Word. And if you would, when we look in there, we see it, and God says, now, don't you want that cleaned out? I never even saw it was in there. I know, now I've showed you, now don't you want it gone? Yes, I certainly do want it gone. There's a price to pay for that one. And you don't ask him the price. You just say, well, whatever it is, I'm sure you'll help me and get me through it and not suffer me to be tempted above which I'm able. And so let's get this thing done. Let's go out. And you may say, yeah, but you don't understand what I'm going to ask you. You're going to have to get more disciplined, do some sacrifice. Now, why are we doing this? Let's go back. We are doing this so we get closer to God. So we have many days in a row where we have great fellowship with the Lord. He speaks to us. And we redeem the time, and he gets all that he can out of us down here. And if we get enough people doing this, you think God's power will show up in our services? And somebody will walk in and they'll say, man, that's unusual. What just happened there? I mean, we'll have a preacher come in, and the power of God will come on him like never before. And he'll preach in such a way and say, man, I had liberty. a lot of the liberty that he has is because of how we walk. Let me say again. A lot of the liberty that he has, you think it's just how he walks, but brother, he can have a pretty good walk and not have liberty in our midst. A lot of liberty he has is dependent on our walk. Brother, I've walked into churches before, and I thought I had a pretty good walk on, and it was like, man, what's going on here? Why can't I get this out? What's stopping this thing? And it's not me. It's what's going on out there. I come back here, and I got liberty again. I go out there sometimes. It broke loose one night where I was just at. There's just some things that need to be taken care of first. And if you ever stood up and preached or anything like that, you can just, man, what's the deal here? Something's tense or tight. Well, sometimes it's not the preacher. Sometimes it's the listeners. I'm not putting anything on you tonight. Please, I'm not scolding you. I'm trying to tell you what it's like to be up here or what's going on down there. So here was the point I was making. If we all have a closer walk, when a preacher comes in, man, the gates are wide open. He's going to say things that he didn't even know. He's going to bring out principles and teach us things that he's going to go back later and write notes in the hotel room saying, man, I didn't know that before. That will happen. You're looking at me like I'm crazy, but it's true. If we have that close, consistent, you say, Brother Prisher, I've been through some turmoil right now, but I think I've been walking pretty good with the Lord. I've been trying to read my Bible, but it just seems like I've got some turmoil. Please look up here. Here's all that's going on. God is doing this. Narrowing it in. Bringing it a little closer. Bringing the boundaries in a little bit closer. By the way, you do that with your children. At 11, you have these boundaries. At 15, the boundaries are here. Because they understand more, and you require more of their maturity. And at 18, you say, now listen, it's time to put off that 10th grade stuff. Let's treat each other better here. Don't you do that? You're looking at me like, what are you talking about? God does do this. But with that, the conscience, if you would, being brought closer in the rules, he can take away some of the desires out of our heart. Statement, God hates that old man. That old man is an enemy to God. Enemy, enemy. That's what the book says. Enemy, enemy. Look at Galatians 5 real quick. Stay with me. Galatians 5. We all right still tonight? Galatians 5. I don't want you to just say yes, sir. I want you to mean it. Amen. Galatians 5. So important to me that we go over this and we get this and we move towards a direction of drawing closer to God. Galatians 5. In Galatians 5, verse 17, you know this, but let's look at it again. Galatians 5, 17. For the flesh, old man, lusteth against the who? Spirit. And the spirit against the flesh, old man. And these are contrary one to the other. Wow. Whoa, wait a minute. So that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Did you read that little statement? So that ye cannot do the things that ye would. What does that mean? The Spirit's putting conviction through our conscience and saying, you can't do those things. You're not allowed. The old man is saying, yeah, we can. Why? Because the old man does not, if you would, he cannot be subject to the law of God. It's impossible. Why? He's spiritually discerned. Let me read you a couple statements. Listen to this very carefully. And it's in Romans chapter 8. You don't have to turn there. The carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So if we walk carnally, that carnal mind is not going to be subject to the law of God. We will not draw nigh that day. We will not get closer that day. And that carnal mind will say, hey, listen, it's time to take a break from all that Bible stuff. Let's just have a free day where you just go out and kind of do what you want. Why? The carnal mind will not be subject to the Holy Spirit, will not be subject to the law of God. In 1 Corinthians 2, it says this, and I'll just read it to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says this. Which one do I want? The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man will not follow the Holy Spirit, and the natural man is what's keeping us from God. that's why we say this. Oh, I can't wait till that old man is gone.
Amen.
Like never to rise up again.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, when we go to heaven, you understand that old nature will be eradicated.
Yeah.
Well, what is the old nature tied to? The body.
Amen.
Would you agree?
Amen.
So you weaken the body, and the old man weakens.
Right.
That's a true story. You weaken the body, the old man weakens. Hey, one of the characteristics of the old man is pride. You know, as your body gets older and weaker, a lot of that pride you used to have in your 20s and 30s is gone. You don't stand up and there's nothing to look at. Pump it up for 5 weeks, it deflates the next day. In your 20s, you can pump it up for 5 weeks and it'll stay that way for 6 months. In your 50s, you can pump it up for 5 weeks and one day later, it doesn't look like you've done nothing. You know what that does to your pride? But that's good. That's why older men and women can get closer to God. Is that true? Hey, as you get older and you get closer to God, there's an argument laying there. In your 20s and 30s, you'd run to that thing and jump in that argument. In your 50s and 60s, you go, if it doesn't come to me, I'm not going to it. I want peace. Is that right? I mean, why should I take that dog by the ear and get bit? Now, if I'm supposed to, I will, Lord, but if I don't, I'm just going to pass that on by. But that 20 and 30 old walks over and says, I'll take care of this. Is that true? Yes or no? You look at me. That's why we can have a closer walk as we get a little older. But wait a minute. Strong meat cometh to those of old age, or those who by reason of use have their spirit exercises. See, you can get older quicker by using the Word of God. You say, I don't get it. You can get older quicker by using the Word of God. You can have an older mindset. You could be in your 30s and have a 40-year-old mindset. You could be in your 40s and have a 60-year-old mindset because you've used the Word of God and it's creeped in there, and the Holy Spirit has said, no, I brought that person closer quicker because they were willing to submit and go through it. Does that make sense? I mean, I've asked God for years to speed up the process. I need to be thinking like a 60 or 70-year-old man. You say, in what areas? Spiritually, vision, things God wants, walk with God. If you're thinking like a 60-year-old man, you know what? I was on an airplane too much in the last couple of days. And all kinds of stuff going on. When you're thinking like a 60 or 70-year-old man, it's like, I got my Bible reading to do. I don't know what they're doing back there, but I just wish they'd quiet down so I can read my Bible. Now, a 20-year-old man's going, oh, I better get involved in that. Look at that going on there. A 60-year-old man is saying, those little young pups, we got to get busy. This is something going on today. I got to find out what God wants next here. Let's find out what God's doing here. Man, I got 2 hours. I don't want to waste it. Let's find out what's going on. Do you want headphones? No, please. I don't have time for that. I want to study my Bible. Get away from me. Leave me alone. And say, what kind of spirit and attitude is that? It's an older mindset. I don't want to see a movie. I don't want to get in a flirting thing. I don't want to do anything like that. I just want to do what God wants me to do right now, okay? Now, if you want me to witness to you, we'll talk about God. But if you don't, then leave me alone, all right? You say, what a terrible spirit. No, I want to have fellowship with God. That's what He's got me in there for. I'm not there to watch a movie. All I'm going is from place to place and being transported so I can do the next job I'm supposed to be doing. That takes glory out of air travel. Hey, I get on the airplane to come home. And we leave Moncton, New Brunswick, and I'm going to Toronto. And there's 200-mile-an-hour headwinds. And we're just getting close, bumping all over the place and everything. We get there 3 hours late. Oh, so you missed your flight. All right, now you got to go to Dallas. All right, so I go to Dallas. They put me on another airlines to go from Dallas, and they send me to Las Vegas. When I get to Las Vegas, I can't go anywhere else that night, So I'm in Las Vegas thinking, what am I doing in Las Vegas? So I make my arrangements so I can stay in Las Vegas last night. I was supposed to be home last night and everything. And it was just so funny. I thought it was a great, humorous little thing. The guy gets in. There's about, 8 to 10 people in there, you know, and everything. And we load up the baggage and all that, you know. And this guy's kind of the tour guide. And it's one of those cheap places. I just want to get to the hotel so I can go to sleep. And so he goes and says, okay, let's start talking about the shows in Las Vegas and what you can see here and go over there and all this kind of stuff. And he pulls up to the first place and drops him off. And he says, this is the Excalibur. And he starts going into the shows and what's so great about it, magnificent. And I'm thinking, wow, this guy knows his stuff. And they get off and everybody's excited. They're going to the place and all that. And the next one, he pulls up to the MGM Grand. And the next couple that's going to go there, they get off and he's talking about all the shows and everything going on. It's all so grand and great and everything like that. I'm kind of going, please, leave me alone on this stuff. And I'm just thinking that because what do I care? What do I care? And then we go to the next place, and I forget the name of it. Tropicana, something like that. And we go to pull up to the Tropicana. Oh, yeah, and here we got this show and this show and something about lions and tigers and bears and all kinds of stuff and this and that and everything. All right? So he's going on. And, I mean, he goes through that five places, and, man, he just got it all. And he's announcing, and we are here now, and this is going on here. And then I'm the last one left. And he pulls up where I'm going to stay. And he says, sir, here's the Motel 6. That's me. Motel 6. No shows going on in there, amen? I give him $1, say thank you for the tour. I walked in my little room and thought, nice and quiet, I'm going to sleep. So what did you do in Las Vegas last night? Went to Motel 6. What happened around here? I have no idea. And I really don't care. Now, you know, as a 25-year-old, it might have been, I think I'll go walk the road there and see what's going on. Where I'm at, it's like, I'm not walking anywhere. I'm not going out there. Only thing out there for me is something to draw me away from the walk I'm supposed to have with God. I want an older mindset. There's something about that crown of glory and that old mindset that wants to draw close to God. Well, what happens? Look at it. The glitter of this world goes away. As he narrows it down, it doesn't glitter as much anymore. There's not something out there attracting. Oh, didn't you want to see anything? No. I really didn't. Man, you're just a stick in the mud. I wasn't over there for that purpose. That could have been an evil day. I wasn't over there for that purpose. I was over there because that's the last place I could get last night. I wasn't going to go looking around what's going on. Take me to my room. Shut the door. I'm going to sleep. I got up early this morning so I could get back to work again. Oh, man, but you could have did this and that. You know what? He started talking about those shows, and I was thinking, well, that's ridiculous. Well, that doesn't sound real good. Well, that's ridiculous. Why do I care if tigers jump through a hoop or not? Right? Well, what do I care about some guy that's got this magician thing? Some guy named Lance something or some magician thing. Oh, he said, you got to see this. This guy. You know what? The guy's dreamed up a bunch of tricks to make it look like something. What do I care about that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen a little, pull the scarf out. Just some trick. Who cares? Oh, don't you want to see it? No. I don't even want to go in there. It was bad enough walking through the, I got so sick of walking through the airport. And then I tell you, I'm just giving it to you. I get sick of hearing about Wheel of Fortune. Everywhere you go, you hear this Wheel of Fortune. I got sick of it. I had to wait in the airport 8 hours today to get over here. Wheel of Fortune. I'm thinking, get me out of this place. Everywhere you go, you hear this Wheel of Fortune. I got sick of it. I had to wait in the airport 8 hours today to get over here. Wheel of Fortune. I'm thinking, get me out of this place.
Amen.
But after a while, it's just like, no glitter.
Right.
Weren't you tempted to pull a slot? Absolutely not.
Right.
No way. Well, why?
Because if I would have done it, well, nobody would have saw you. Wait a minute. I'm trying to have a walk with God today.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I'm not going to go put my whatever in a slot machine. And then come over here and preach tonight? That's ridiculous. This thing has got to be more sincere and genuine and real than playing two lies. Right? I know nobody saw me last night, but God saw me. He knows right what I was doing, right where I at, right in the whole place, and his eyes were right on me. And why should I back away from what he's already tried to show me? Why should I do something in one night that maybe take me weeks to recover from? Because it takes just a little time to do it. It takes weeks and months to recover from something we did. Wouldn't you agree with that? And why would I want to go the other way? If God's doing this to me right now a little bit more, why would I want to say, no, I don't want to do that, and step out here and God say, okay, all right. Looks like you've put off the process for a while. But when the desire's not there, it's easy to walk by it. When you really don't have a desire for any of that stuff, it's just easy to walk by and go. I could see Jesus walk through Las Vegas. You say, what would he do? Probably preach and witness, hold a meeting. I don't think any of that stuff would attract him. Come on, is that right? I think you just walk by it and see sinners that need to be saved. I don't think he'd be tempted at all. Why? Because the desire in his heart is clean and pure towards God. Now, I'm not saying I'm perfect yet, but my point is this. We need to have an older mindset where those desires are rooted out by the Holy Spirit and that we're not letting the old man have his way. But we can't kill the old man. God's got to kill the old man. Would you agree with that? Look, if you would, a little bit further. Look at Romans chapter 6. Everybody still all right tonight? Romans chapter 6. I thought that was funny. Here's your Motel 6. Glad I'm at the right place tonight. Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. Watch. Stay with me now. I'll watch your time. Verse 22. But now, being made, say it, free. Turn this down a little bit, buddy, if you would. Thanks. Being made free from sin. Does that mean you're sinless? I think it has to do with that it's not dominating and controlling us anymore. That we're now under the law of liberty. And where there is the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty from the bondage of that sin. So being made free from sin. And you say, wait a minute, don't you think that's positionally like, you know, our sins are not imputed to us? I think there's practical holiness, don't you? But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto what? Holiness. And the end, everlasting life. Brethren, I understand righteousness is imputed. And I understand holiness is imputed. But I think he wants some practical righteousness and practical holiness, and that's why he uses our conscience and starts narrowing it down and narrowing it down and narrowing it down. That can produce problems in a marriage. You say, what do you mean? You've got to be able to communicate with each other and say, you know what? I'm not allowed to do that anymore. Just understand that. I'm just not allowed to do that anymore. Well, what's the big deal? Doesn't matter. I'm just not allowed to do that anymore. My conscience won't let me do that anymore. That's all. Be careful about throwing it on somebody else because they might not be right there. If you see, somebody gets this thing and they're a novice with this thing and God starts bringing it in a little bit as a novice, they want to go out and banter everybody else with that thing. Better just be quiet about it. Get your own walk right. Get the own walk the way it is, and then gently lead other people into it. Hey, I fasted a little bit, but I wouldn't put that on other men. I wouldn't put the amount of time I fast and what I fast and what I've done on other guys. I wouldn't say you're not right with God if you're not doing this. That's ridiculous. That's a novice. That's someone that's got fire that doesn't know how to use it right. You do it yourself, and then you gently lead. I was up there talking to those guys a little bit on one of the sessions, just a little bit about fasting. I said, now, some of y'all last year did one day or 2 days. It's time for some of y'all to do 3 days this year sometime. And they did. Last year I preached on fasting a little bit, and they went back and they told me, said, Pastor, we did. We fasted and prayed together. We did that more. And I said, now let's take it just a little bit farther. But I didn't say to them, now some of you preachers ought to be on a 21-day fast. I didn't say that. Why? They got to go with where they're at. And you just gently lead them along a little bit. And when this thing, look at me, when this thing narrows down for your life, don't go around and tell everybody else what they should be doing. It's what God showed you. Just keep it quiet. Just do your thing. And as you see people that are doing things outside of the boundary, hey, don't condemn them. You used to do it. Are we all right with what I'm saying? I don't know if I'm getting it. Because I expect God in our church, I expect our Lord, that our church wants to draw closer and more power and do more. Individuals, I expect God, for some of y'all, please look up, I expect Him to do this. I expect Him to bring the rules in a little bit. And that's dangerous. You get a bunch of novices just got the rules moved in. They're going around picking everything on everybody else. And you know, well, yeah, we shouldn't be doing that. Yeah, that's right, we shouldn't be doing that. Yeah, and that guy over there is doing that. Oh, come on, grow up. That's not what you do. You get closer to God and you have more compassion and more mercy. Yeah, I think you're getting it. The road narrows. Why? Because the Holy Spirit says, I want more of you now. I want more of your thought life. Now that I've taken that desire away, now I want you to have a cleaner mind. I want more actions geared towards me. I want less actions geared towards the world. I think Jesus said something along these lines. You're in this world, but you're not of this world. You're down here, we're down here to try to reach this world. But rather than reaching this world, He said this, don't get entangled with this world. And that's why the spirit lusts against the flesh. And that's why that carnal mind is enmity against God. And so God wants to crucify that old man and keep him crucified. Look at two more scriptures and we'll close. Look at Romans 13. I know we're about done. I hope you're getting it tonight. You're thinking. Oh, I hope you're thinking. I hope you'll consider this. Romans 13. I hope it's making sense. I was a little concerned about the fatigue factor and some other things. Romans 13, hope it's making sense. Look at Romans 13. I can start over if you'd like. All right, yeah. Romans 13, look at the last verse. But put ye on, Lord Jesus, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Somebody says, well, I got saved, I put on Christ. We have not, after salvation, put on the full measure of Christ. After we get saved, we put on Christ. I agree. But wouldn't you agree that the Lord Jesus and the knowledge of Him increases in us? And the more the knowledge and the more we put Him on. Now, somebody says, positionally, when you're in Christ, you're in Christ, and you already have Christ on. I agree with that. But as you grow in the Lord and you put more of His mind in our mind, wouldn't you say that His mind would say, deny that flesh even more? Well, what's the flesh? The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. The temper, the anger, the gossip, the wickedness, the lust, the pride of life, all that stuff. He wants that put off more and more. Look at Ephesians 3 real quick. Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. Thanks for turning there. I know you're tired. We're almost done. Say, man, this wasn't dynamic. I'm just adding a little bit more of an installment is all. This is pastoral stuff. I know how it works. Just a little more installment, a little bit more. Let's just bring it along. Just a couple more thoughts. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. We'll get to 3 in a minute. Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath He quickened. Isn't it nice to be alive? Who were dead in trespasses and sins. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation. We all messed around with that in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God. But God. But God. Brethren, those desires we had in the flesh and in the mind, that's what it says in verse 3, the desires, the intents, the wants of the flesh and the wants of the mind, those things have to be killed off. We can't kill off those desires, but God can, but God. But God. God's the answer. Brethren, when you try to stop the actions, good. Abstain from appearance of evil on you, and you try to say, I'm not going to think that way anymore, but you get to the place where I want to get it closer to God. But God, you have to take away these desires in my heart. From within comes all these things, but God, you have to kill off these desires. I want to get closer to you. I want to come to you with a true heart and a clean heart. I can't do it on my own. You must do it, please. And God says, how much you want it? Fast and pray for a while. Get rid of some things in your life. Get rid of this and get rid of that. Let's see how much you want it. I'll try you a little bit. I'll test you a little bit. I'll prove you a little bit. Get rid of that activity in your life. But I don't know if there's anything wrong. I didn't say. I just said get rid of it. Don't spend as much time with it anymore. It's drawing you away from me and you don't even know it. Said, man, preacher, if I listen to all this, I'm not going to be able to have any fun. You know what God will say to you? Don't go to the movie houses anymore. Somebody will say, well, I don't see anything wrong with it. Okay, fine. You don't see anything wrong with it? Maybe somebody else does. But we're going to still preach, aren't we? Because it's worldly. And somebody will walk out and say, I don't see anything wrong with it. It's drawing people away from God. Well, so is this and this and this. So get rid of this and this and this too. He'll test you. A long time ago, God talked to me a little bit about some things. And he put some rules in my life. I'm not going to put them on you. But he put some rules in my life that are very, very important. And I can see now why they're important. I couldn't see then. It was like, I don't think that's that big a deal. And the Lord says, yeah, just do what I'm telling you to do, okay? You don't have to understand it. Just do it. And after you do it for a while, you start realizing, man, I didn't see how distracting that was. I just didn't understand it. Now I see it. And I'm not there yet. Still got a long way to go. So here's where we started tonight, and here's where we'll finish. True heart. Let us draw near with a true heart. If we draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to us. But I want a true heart. Clean heart. Pure heart. How do I get that pure heart? Maybe that ought to be the focus. Lord, create in me that clean heart. Continue to clean and cleanse my heart from the desires and the wants that are against what you want. I hope tonight you'll consider it and ponder it. And if nothing else, maybe as a result of tonight, the Holy Spirit will say, all right, now you're ready. Here we go. Ready? Here we go. You say, well, it'll be all at once? Sometimes it's just slow. Just slow. You don't even know. It's just, wow, I'm convicted about that. Man. Boy, I don't get to do that anymore. Boy, I don't do that anymore. Let me tell you how you feel when you're fasting for a long period of time. Man, everybody else gets to eat and I don't. That's how you feel. Man, here I am, my head's throbbing, everybody else gets to eat. I don't get to eat tonight. Man, you'll feel that way. Don't tell me if you've ever fasted for a long period of time you haven't felt that way. Man, everybody else is eating tonight, but I don't get to eat anything tonight. Well, I wish I could eat tonight. I don't get to eat tonight. You pray and you ask God to use you. And if the Holy Spirit says lay it aside, let's not murmur about it. Let's just thank God that we get the opportunity to be used with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I hope the thoughts tonight will sink in deep. I really do. I really hope tonight that somebody in here a percentage of us will say, I want to go and I want to talk to God about drawing closer, having my heart sprinkled from that evil conscience and some of those desires being weeded out just a little bit more. I hope the Holy Spirit will fill in the gaps here tonight, and that we'll want to walk closer in that law of the Spirit of life, and that He'll be able to narrow that law down, that set of rules, to what He wants us to do. If you've never received Christ as Savior tonight, the natural man will not receive this. The old nature will not receive it. We'll say it's foolishness. But I want to say to you, if you get saved, your attitude, your thoughts, your intents, your purpose, your desires, it'll all change. And you'll rejoice in what I'm talking about tonight, what we've talked about through the Scriptures. If you've never received Christ as Savior tonight, it'd be a good night to do it. And maybe somewhere in here, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, preacher, pray for me, not sure of my salvation. If that's you, hold your hand up and let us pray for you. Our Father, please, do your work your way. Work on our hearts. Work on that one that didn't hold their hand up for salvation, please. Draw us closer to yourself. May we, on a practical basis, may we walk closer to thee. May we watch it more. May we be more obedient. May we draw near. And would you clean our heart up, Lord? Please clean our heart. Cleanse our hearts. Help us in our secret areas, that little secret thing right there in front of our minds right now, that secret fault, that presumptuous sin that's right there. Please, Lord, clean that desire. Clean that thought up. Clean that one up right there. Please, we need you, God. Only you can break the power of that thing in our life. But we believe you can break that in our life. You can break it down and if you would, Father, dissolve it or eradicate that one little area of desire, of want. Please take it away. Please. Only you'll do that. Mortify the deeds of this flesh, Holy Spirit. Even as we finish this day out, mortify those deeds. We'll let the instruments play. Give you a couple minutes. Thanks for listening. Maybe that road's narrowing just a little bit. That's good. That's good. That's growing closer. That road narrows. That set of rules tightens it up just a little bit more, a little bit more. Draw me near. Be careful now. Don't go out and put all your convictions on everybody else that you're going through them. Just take your time. Have some grace and compassion, mercy with that. Encourage one another into a closer walk with the Lord. Thoughts and the intents of our heart. How do we see them? Ah, this word discerns them. As we read this word, we see ourselves even more. And then we want to go to God and say, mortify the deeds of this flesh. Holy Spirit, do that work. Our Lord, we want to draw nigh, want to draw near, want to come to you more clean. Want to come to you with less in the way. Want to come to you, Father, with those secret, presumptuous areas of our life taken care of. Please do that work in us. Pray nobody in here tonight, Father, would feel scolded. Or God, that nobody would feel browbeaten in any way, shape, or form, but more encouraged, God, please. I pray that would come across that way. More encouraged to be closer to thee. That's what we want. May holiness be on our mind as we go to bed tonight, as we wake up in the morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand, greet each other tonight. Thanks for being here. Thanks for praying for me while I was gone. Hope some of these thoughts you'll go away and ponder the Scriptures. Encourage somebody tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed. Good to have you here with us tonight. Make sure now you're reminded about...